I'm wanting to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and I'll read, I'll kind of update you here just a little, and then I'll read verse number 26 down through verse number 31. If you remember right in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there was division. Remain standing for me just a moment. There was division in the church. Some were saying, I'm of Paul. Others said, you know, I'm of Apollos. And then there was some said, I'm of Cephas or Peter. And thank God there was some few that said they was of Christ. So, you know, if in this passage of Scripture, if Paul was preaching, man, I mean, he's my preacher. They were there. I mean, you'd know it because they're making the noise. If Paul was on the floor, I mean, he was the man that had the revelation of God, and you know, rightly so. And then, of course, if Cephas was preaching or Apollos was preaching, man, he was a scriptorian. I mean, Apollos, when he preached, I mean, he preached like a theologian, and he was charismatic in his preaching. And I mean, his preaching was moving. Have you ever heard preachers preach, and their preaching was really moving? That's Apollos. Then, of course, there's Cephas, the Apostle Peter. He was one that had the keys to the kingdom. I mean, we got the man here that's got the keys. We're going all the way back to Jerusalem. He's got the keys to the kingdom. And certainly he was a great preacher. And then, of course, some of them said, well, we're going to go beyond that. We're going to Calvary. Christ is our preacher. He's our Savior. And, of course, they, you know, instead of being thankful for all these great stalwart ministries, instead of being grateful that God planted these stalwart ministries, they were divided. How many of you realize that happens today? That didn't just happen in first century times. That happens in our times. And so I'm kind of updating you here. It was a time of division. And Paul, in verse 18 down through verse number 25, he holds the cross up before him. And he holds the cross up before him to humble them, to unify them, to bring them back into the oneness of spirit. And then, of course, now down in verse number 26, he said, and you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen, somebody say chosen, the foolish things of the world to confound the things that are wise. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which God, which are not, the things which are not, or the people who are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Notice why, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You may be seated in the Lord's presence. I'd like to preach this morning just a little while and entitle my message, The Glory of the Shame. The Glory of the Shame. We appreciate all of our online listening friends listens in week after week. And when you make a remark or you hit the page, we know you're out there. We appreciate your listening ear. And our heart is to further you in faith. And if you don't know Jesus, we're going to introduce you to the Savior this morning. Amen. So the glory of the shame. Amen. So he holds the cross up for him to unify him. The second answer to division is seeing God's simple and humble people. The first answer is the cross. The second answer is seeing God's simple and humble people. You might say, preacher, are you preaching to simple and humble people this morning? I sure hope so. That's what I am. Amen. The Corinthians needed to remember, they needed to remember who they were. And not too many had come from among the wise. Not too many had come from among the powerful and the noble. So they had no excuse. I mean, they weren't called to be snobbish. They weren't called to be criticizing and ignoring others. They were only what God had made them to be. So Paul reminded them, hey, I'm going to remind you of your roots. I want to remind you of where you come from. I want to remind you of who you are or were. And so he reminded them that the Apostle Paul and the ministry team, they went into the slave community. Most of these Corinthians peoples came from the slave community. Paul was a door-to-door man. Paul was not a man that just went to the rich, the elite, the educated, and the powerful. Paul went into the slave community. These people were used to saying, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. I mean, they were slaves. Most of them were slaves. And they lived in slave shacks. I can see Paul and his ministry team here that I just recorded knocking on the door, inviting them in, witnessing to them, reaching them for Christ. So these people came from a life of slavery. They came from a life where they were probably, to a large degree, degraded by the rich, the elite, and the powerful. So they were really lifted up. They were inflated because of their gifts, their calling, and their talents, because God had really mentored them with these ministry men. God had developed them, and they were getting puffed up about it. So in their puffed up attitude, their snobbish attitude, like, I'm really something special. I'm holier than thou. I'm better than you. God reminded them that they were simple and humble people, that they came from a life of failings and a life that, you know, was of slavery. So I'm looking at that this morning. I want to say this morning, God does not call many outstanding people. Look at verse number 26. You might say, preacher, I thought I was outstanding. God does not call many outstanding people. Now, he calls a few, but not many outstanding people does he call to salvation. How many of you remember what the scripture says, that he came for the poor? He came to save the poor in spirit. Amen. I don't believe you got to be out of money to get saved, but God comes to the humble and to the contrite. Could you say amen? The Corinthians certainly needed to hear this, because they were boasting and taking great pride in their wisdom and understanding and gifts and abilities. And God has certainly gifted them with every conceivable spiritual gift. And they were especially enriched with the gifts that dealt with speech and with knowledge. And that's gifts for the preacher, the educator, the politician, the teacher, the ruler, the businessman. And these people were a gifted people. But Paul, he pulls their chain. And he said, brethren, I want you to remember that you didn't start out that way. You didn't start out that way. I put Paul in your life. I put Apollos in your life. I put Cephas in your life. I put ministries in your life. Ministries, I can name you probably about 60 or 70 of them in the New Testament that God placed in their life to mentor them, to develop them, to bring them on, to bring them to the stature of a full man. How many of you realize God saves people from a very degraded life? Most of us came from a degraded life. But God don't leave you there. God does not leave you there. He loves me too much to leave me that way. He puts ministries in our life. He puts leaders in our life. He puts churches in our life. He puts educators in our life so that we can be developed, so we can be mentored, so we can be trained and developed into the stature of a full man. Could you give the Lord some hallelujah in the house? Paul says, see your calling, brethren. He says, look at yourselves. Look at your church. Look at the people God calls. God does not call many wise men. Now, I said he calls a few, but he doesn't call many wise men. Men who live after the flesh. He's speaking about the educator. He's speaking about the teacher, the philosopher, the politician, all who seek the wisdom of this world instead of the wisdom of God. Now he said, the wise after the flesh are those who purpose and live for the fleshly wisdom of this world. He says, few of these are ever saved. He says, few of these are ever saved. He says, some are, but he says, not many. Men do not discover God by their wisdom or the wisdom of this world. Men does not discover God by the wisdom of this world. Men discovers God because the Holy Ghost comes and broods over their heart and woos them and convicts them to bring them to a place of repentance. That's how people get saved. People get saved who the Holy Ghost has just literally brooded over their heart until they felt repentance and they felt the gift of salvation coming their way. How many of you realize that holds true to this day? Not many wise men after the flesh. There's a lot of people thinks because I've got a Harvard's degree or I got several degrees in front of my name or I wear the badge of doctorate. I'm a high IQ man, and there is people that's high IQ people, and God can take that and use it after you get saved greatly. But this alone will not impress God. This alone will not impress God. Einstein, as smart as he was, if he hadn't have repented, it wouldn't have impressed God. I want to tell you what impresses God is when men will just literally come clean and say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a broken sinner. And I'm fallen and I need to be saved. And they feel that contrition in their heart and soul. And these are the people that get born again, born of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and get their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Before I run out of time this morning, I'd like to go a little further. God does not call many mighty men of the world. God does not call many mighty men of this world. I'm talking about the greats of this world, the powerful. I'm talking about the rulers, the wealthy, the multi-billionaire people. And boy, I'm telling you, we're not living in the day of the millionaire. We're living in the day of the billionaire. Could you say amen? He said God does not call many mighty men of this world. He's talking about the business leaders of this world, the politicians of this world, the influential of this world, of those who are wrapped up in the positions, the wealth, the authority of this world. He said, I'll save a few. There'll be a few of these people saved. I'm not saying that salvation won't knock on, the Holy Spirit won't knock on their door and that salvation won't come to their house. He said, there'll be a few of them that'll come clean, that'll come low enough to say, I'm going to repent. I'm going to accept Christ as my Savior. Amen. And I'm going to get saved by the grace of God. He'll save you. He said, there'll be a few. He said, some are, but not many. Not many. Men do not have influence with God because of who they are. No. Their earthly position and their power have no bearing upon God's acceptance of them. I think I need to say that again. Men do not have influence with God because of who they are. Their earthly position and power have no bearing upon God's acceptance of them. The scripture said, Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he falls. I'll tell you how we're accepted. We are one and all, ground up, from ground zero up, one and all, we are accepted through the beloved. You're only accepted through Christ. All other sand is sinking sand. Amen. Christ, our King, is how we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The ground is made level at Calvary. We come to Calvary or we don't get in the gate. It's that simple. I don't care how thick your wallet is, how long your name is, how much prestige you have. Unless you come the way of the cross, you'll never enter the gates of glory. Eli, my side. This is how you get in. You get in through repentance and faith in one man, and that's the God-man, Christ Jesus the Lord. And there's not salvation in any other name than the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on, one more time. Could you make some noise in the house? God does not call many mighty men. Boy, I mean, there's some greats. There's some people that owns gold mines. There's people as big money investors. There's all kinds of great people in this world. And God would like for them to get saved. But most of their hearts, they strut like peacocks. They're strutters. When they walk in the door, they're going to have special recognition because they're billionaires. They own factories, and they are company leaders. I mean, God wants them to be saved, and I do too, and we need them. We need these people. We need some money people in these churches, believe me. I've got a vision that this church is going to take some money to see it forth. Not just money, but going to take some hands that'll work, some hands that'll labor. Amen. Yeah, we need all that. But I'm going to tell you something. God is using simple and humble people today. God does not call many noble people. I'm speaking about the high bred, the upper class, the well-born, the nobility of society, those of respected heritage, hope, those whose wealth, those who have many, many noble roots. God does not call many of them. He calls a few. And thank God for the few. But he don't call many. I said he calls a few. There's a few that come to that altar and say, I'm a sinner. Would you just wash my heart clean in the blood of the Lamb? I'm a sinner. Would you fill me with the Holy Ghost? Would you write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? We got to be that humble, folks. I'm too old to compromise. I'm too close to home. I'm going to tell you the truth. People with like noblemen, and a few of them get saved, possessing earthly knowledge and influence and nobility do not make a person acceptable to God. Such things may be esteemed by men, but they're not esteemed by God. This fact bothers men, for they think who they are and what they have done should have some bearing on God's acceptance of them. But I need to say, this is the very thing that keeps so many from ever becoming acceptable to God. And you might say, what is it? Number one, it's pride. Number two, it's self-sufficiency. Number three, it's self-attainment. Number four, it's self-righteousness. Then it's self-centeredness. And whatever men may choose to call it, that's what it is. And God says, not many noble men is being saved. You know why? They're too noble. They're standing. God told Moses, take your shoes off. You're too high. When he came to him at the burning bush, he said, you got to come out of your shoes. You're standing too tall. How many of you realize there's times you got to lower yourself down, humble yourself down, amen, where you can really get belly up, get on your knees, and you can pray and seek the face of God that way, and that is in your heart. I believe God's humbling people right while I'm preaching today. I want to go a step farther and say God calls simple and humble people. Not many outstanding people get saved. Thank God there's a few. But he saves humble people. God's choice is not arbitrary. Not without reason. It's not arbitrary. It's not without reason. He knows why he chooses the simple and humble people over the outstanding people. God has the reasons, and he explains his reasons in this passage of Scripture. He said, because I choose foolish things. Things is speaking of people. When he used this word things, he's talking about people. These people came, most of them, from the slave community. They was considered to be tools in the hands of the rich. They were. They were considered tools. They didn't own property. They belonged to masters. I said he chooses these type of people. I don't know why. I wasn't a slave to a master, but I was a slave to sin. God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Notice the term foolish things speaking to people. Many of the wise in the world look upon those who have little or nothing as things. I was probably looked at one time, rightly so, as a thing. Because didn't have no money. I was broke. I was bellied up. I don't know where the Lord found you, but I know. He found me. He found me at the banks of Calumet River. He found Abraham. He found Abram at the Ur of the Chaldeans in a heathen land punching cows, herding cattle, and called him out to go to a city that's got foundations whose builder and maker is God. Where did he call you from? Where did he find you? You know, I'm thinking about Hagar. He found Hagar at Beer Lahai Rohi, the well of the living God. He found her at the well of the living God. Amen. He found her in a desert. He found her when she was dried. He found her when she is broken. He found her when she thought, you know, life's over. She sent her son out. I mean, she thought she was a goner. Here she's in the desert, pregnant and dropped like a dog would be dropped. Hey, she just feels dropped. She feels like life's over. And there in that well, there in that desert, she said that she saw a well. And that well, she named it Beer Lahai Rohi, meaning the well of the living one. I've drank from that well this morning. The well of the living one lives in my heart. I drink from that well every day of my life. I'm drinking from that well. I'm drinking from that well. The Lord found me. You know, I think about the demoniac from Gadara. The Lord found him in a graveyard, violent, out of control, dangerous to all society. Transformed him. Told him to go back home and tell the people what great things the Lord did for him. He served 10 colonies of people around there. Wretched thousands for Christ. Where did the Lord find you? He found Mary Magdalene He found her in her immorality. He found her in her immorality. I'm trying to be kind this morning. I'm trying to be nice this morning. Hey, she was one of them women. She was one of them women you didn't want your man around. She probably her pretty high dollar. I don't want to say it. You know where the Lord found her? He found her in harlotry. But the Lord transformed her. And the Lord saved her. And the Lord used her to serve his master and his disciples. I need to tell you, the Lord's finding people in all kinds of places. He found the woman at the well. He found her in her. He found her in her degradation. I mean, there she was. She said she had five husbands, and the man I'm living with is not mine. I'm living outside the boundaries of marriage right now. Amen. But the Lord found her. He didn't leave her that way. He didn't leave none of them that way. But that's the place where he found them. And God's finding people that way right now. He's finding people that way. He's finding people. The Holy Ghost is on the hunt right now while I preach. He's on the search right now while I preach. He's finding people. Elam, I say revival's in the air. Revival's in the air. Me and she was down here praying last night. She said, Lord, I just feel the rain coming. I feel the rain coming. I feel the sound of an abundance of rain. And boy, I mean, she is preaching. When she is telling me, she is preaching it out to me. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I'm telling you, I feel the raindrops in the air. I feel the rain coming. I'm talking about rains of revival, times of refreshing that come from the presence of our God. Amen. Revival's in the air. People's getting saved. People's getting filled with the Holy Ghost. People are growing in Christ. Ministries are being born. I'm telling you, they're of God in this land, and it's here in this house this morning. Let the rain come down. Let the revival come. Let people get refreshed. Let people get saved. There ain't nothing to revive a church like people getting saved. People that's cold in the Lord, people that's got old in their faith, people that, you know, become decrepit in their faith. You know, they gotta have assistance to even hardly get in and out of the church. And I'm spiritually speaking, I'm not speaking naturally, but I'm speaking spiritually. People that feels like they're all dried up and the faith life is over. No, you know what we need? We need that rain. We need the spring rains, and we need the full rains. I mean the latter rains that goes with it. How many of you are ready for that early and latter rain? I preached long enough today. I never get done. It just comes the time I've wore the people out. But I love you. And I want to say, not just myself, but to all of our online listening friends, we love you too. And we've got a welcome place in this house for you. A welcome place in this house for you. People that really want to hear from God. We minister to families with the right heart to bring them to the cross. Have you been to the cross this morning?